Cody High School is on Detroit's west side in a neighborhood that struggles with blight, drugs, and gangs.
Everybody wants to be out the neighborhood. Everybody do. But more people still stuck here than ever.
So how do you get out? Well, first you have to graduate high school. For students who are on the brink, that's where this guy comes in. His name is Jimmy Knight.
I'm not a counselor, but I got a genuine heart. That's all I preach. Just listen to me. Let me tell you what's expected out of you. You get that, and then you move on.
If ain't nobody come to me trying to be like Knight was, then it'd be like, I'll just be here to do what I got to do and go home.
Without Coach Knight, I probably wouldn't even be in school, period. I'd probably be somewhere in the streets.
I'm Jennifer Guerra with Michigan Radio. The story of Coach Knight and the students he's trying to help stay on track. That's ahead on our State of Opportunity special, Mr. Knight's Neighborhood. It's fair to say that Detroit's Cody High School has a reputation. A bad reputation.
Can you say your name one more time into the mic?
Keyshawn. K-E-S-H-A-W-N.
So, tell me why did you go to this school?
The school I wanted to go to had a waiting list for ninth graders.
So you ended up here, and so what do you think about it?
I mean, it's better than what I thought it was.
Yeah. When you came, what did you think it was going to be like?
Well, fighting every day.
And how is it? Is there fighting?
Not really. Barely, like once every 2 weeks probably.
It's like in the middle of like a kind of bad neighborhood. So they automatically think like it's a bad school.
Like when I was in middle school, like in sixth or seventh grade, I used to hear a lot about Cody.
Kind of nervous about coming here?
I used to be scared to walk down the hallways and go places by myself. But it's cool. It's not as bad. It's not as bad as everybody said it is.
People used to call Cody High School a dropout factory. Most years, only 60% of seniors would graduate. Gangs, graffiti, fights, you name it, Cody had it. There was even a police station in the school, room 103, just down the hallway from the front door. One of Cody's football coaches, Jimmy Knight, says cops used to walk around the school carrying handcuffs and guns.
It's bad enough you got to come through a metal detector, but then you come in here and there's a cop walking up and down the hallway all day. You know, who wants to come and be around an environment like that every day, all day?
But then, in 2009, things started to change. The giant dropout factory was converted into three small high schools, each with its own theme, its own principal, its own staff. They laid down new carpet, they painted the walls, put in new lights. They wanted everybody to know, this is a new era at Cody. They got rid of the police station and the cops with the guns and replaced it with regular-looking guys wearing regular clothes. Instead of guns, they had walkie-talkies on their hips. Now, at Cody, these guys are called the Deans of Culture. It's their job to keep the kids safe, in class, and in uniform at all times. At schools like Cody, that is to say, inner-city schools with bad reputations, one of the walkie-talkie guys is usually the enforcer. In this school, it's a guy named Wiley, somebody who is strict and serious, somebody you do not want to mess with.
You have to have a loud disciplinarian. If you take him out of this school, it would be borderline devastating.
This is one of the school's counselors, Robert Donahue.
Kids are used to that. I've been told since I worked in Detroit. Kids are used to being yelled at. And they just are. And, you know, all kids are, from no matter where you are. But around here, a lot of the times they respond to that.
And it's pretty effective. He yells at you to get to class, you hustle it up. There are rules, and he expects you to follow them. But at one of the small Cody schools, there is also another guy on the walkie-talkie. Coach Jimmy Knight.
Go for Mr. Knight.
I need you to walk your area and let me know which teachers aren't here, please.
Copy.
Sure, he'll yell at you to get to class.
Hey, man, y'all better be in class because I'm coming.
But he'll also spot you $5 to go to McDonald's. And he'll buy a bunch of extra uniform shirts and stash them in his office, you know, just in case you need one. He'll bend the rules to keep you in school, even if you were supposed to be suspended.
I think he would call himself the savior.
That's Michelle Parker. She's principal at Cody's Medicine and Community Health Academy, and she hired Jimmy Knight 5 years ago.
He shows he cares. He sits down and talks to him. He works with him. He gives them chances that maybe someone else may have thrown their hands up and said, I give up. And he keeps trying.
Springfield to Coach Knight.
Coach Knight.
extra 20, sir.
Room 130.
Copy that. Thank you, sir.
Today on our State of Opportunity special, Mr. Knight's Neighborhood, the story of Coach Knight and the students he's trying to help stay on track. I'm Jennifer Guerra. This is Michigan Radio. Stay tuned. Chapter 1. Good morning. I love you. The first thing you notice about Jimmy Knight is his limp. The students talk about it all the time.
They're like, well, Miss Knight, you walk around here pimping. No, I'm not pimping. I'm limping. I have a limp, not a pimp, you know. And that comes from not listening to my parent.
When Knight was 12, he skipped school one day, went for a bike ride with some friends, and got hit by a drunk driver. The car crushed his leg in four places. His doctors thought he would never walk again. Man, were they wrong. Fast forward almost 40 years, and Knight pretty much walks for a living. He walks up and down the stairs and the hallways at Cody's Medicine and Community Health Academy every single day, 5 days a week.
Every morning I'm at the front door greeting from 8 to probably 8:35, 8:40. The reason why I stand at that door is because I like to tell each and every kid, first of all, good morning. And then second of all, I tell them I love you, because I don't believe a lot of our kids get told that every day.
Sometimes it's actually, I love you. But more often it's stuff like
and,
this.
Hey, beauty. All right, girl.
Hey, how you doing, shorty? You all right? You need anything? You got your bus card. Okay. Hey, baby girl, you all right?
Hey, you all right?
Good, good.
All right, Barbara.
Barbara is a junior at Cody. She's slim and shy. She doesn't like to draw a lot of attention to herself.
If she ain't smiling when she come in the door, I think it's a problem. So I'm standing right here at a locker every day.
Yes. Like this morning. It makes me feel good because it's like somebody there for me. Like always want to see me doing good and stuff. And I can't walk around looking down or he right there to be like, what's wrong? Put a smile on your face. Like, okay.
Barbara first came into Knight's world when she was having some relationship problems.
So he was kind of giving you dating advice, or?
It was like more of being a parent. Like Knight was always the father figure that I didn't have. So.
Yeah. So if Coach Knight wasn't here?
Everybody would just be everybody. I wouldn't be talking to nobody. I wouldn't. If ain't nobody come to me trying to be like Knight was, then it'd be like, it wouldn't be a reason to talk. It'd just be like, I'll just be here to do what I gotta do and go home.
Now, to be fair, there are dozens of adults in the building that Barbara could have talked to. But like so many other students at Cody, she chose Knight. He looks like a hip professor with his salt and pepper beard and black framed glasses. But that's not why she chose him. Here are the three most common answers students gave me. He listens. He respects me. He understands what I'm going through. And he really does. Coach Knight grew up in the very same neighborhood these kids live in. He even went to Cody, graduated in 1981. He lets the students know he wasn't some straight-A student.
I skipped school. I did that.
What would you do while you skipped school?
I hang around the building, just like they do now, you know. I never disrespected a teacher or anything, but, you know, I got in fights. I did everything that a student does in this building.
But he did manage to graduate high school, and eventually he moved away from Cody and out to the suburbs. Several years ago, Knight's dad died and his mom was all alone, so Coach Knight moved back to the Cody neighborhood, to the same block where he grew up. He bought a burned-out house for $1,000, fixed it up, and moved in with his wife and their three daughters. His daughters were not thrilled to move back to the hood, as they called it. And Knight gets it. He knows there are safer places to raise kids.
10 years ago, you ain't really want to walk around this neighborhood, especially around this school, okay? Because there was so much going on. There was so much gang banging, so much going on with the housing, with the crack trade, with heroin use. Nobody wanted to be around here. It was a danger zone.
The neighborhood has gotten a little bit better over the last couple years. A group called Life Remodeled came in and tore down a bunch of abandoned houses, put in a new football field at the high school. Knight started a block club on his street, which is super active. But just one street over from where his family lives, it looks totally bombed out. There is trash everywhere. Some houses are so run down, it looks like the next strong wind could knock them over. Like Knight says,
it done calmed down a lot, but it's still the neighborhood, you know? Everybody wants to be out the neighborhood. Everybody do. But more people still stuck here than ever.
So that's why he decided to come back to Cody High School. He wanted to try to help kids in the neighborhood graduate and find a way out. The highest degree Coach Knight has is a high school diploma. He's a chef by trade and worked his way up from busboy to head chef at a private club in Detroit. When it was time for his daughters to go to high school, his oldest wanted to go to one of the city's top magnet schools. Coach Knight told her he had other plans.
And I said, well, Cody is right down the street from the house, one. I coach football there, two. I graduated from there, and I thought I came out pretty good. That was three. So I said, we're going to try that.
But remember, this is the old Cody we're talking about, the dropout factory. It was just starting to transition into the smaller schools, but it still had a very bad reputation. Knight's wife, Jennifer, did not want her daughters there by themselves. So Coach Knight started to volunteer at Cody. He already coached football there, so he figured it'd be good to help out in the school. He could check in on his daughters and the football team at the same time, make sure nobody was getting in trouble. Pretty soon, though, kids who weren't even on the football team started chatting him up and asking him for advice. After a year of doing that for free, the principal offered him a job through a group called Communities in Schools.
Through them, I'm not a counselor. I didn't go to school for that. But I got a genuine heart. I do know what is expected out of these kids. That's all I preach. Just listen to me. Let me tell you what's expected out of you. You get that, and then you move on.
Communities in Schools is a nationwide dropout prevention organization. So Knight's job is to make sure students have what they need in order to succeed in school and graduate. Knight is happy to help any student in the building who seeks him out. But he also has 45 students on his caseload, and he works intensely with those students all 4 years of high school. He tracks their grades, their attendance, the number of write-ups and suspensions they get. And believe me, he tends to work with the kids who get a lot of write-ups and suspensions. But he tells them, look, I was like you. I walked these halls. I had friends who made bad choices.
I tried to tell them that to say, you know, yeah, they were my friends. Yeah, I talked with them. But when time to come for them to do the things that they got to do when they did, I went home. You know, I didn't care what they called me. You know, but one thing you couldn't call me was a convict because I wasn't there. One thing you couldn't call me was dead because I'm living.
Now, Knight is a realist. He knows not everybody on his caseload who graduates is going to go on to college.
So when you know that kid is not doing that great, you got to always have another program waiting and ready for that kid when they leave here.
A program that will teach them a skill, like how to be a mechanic or an electrician.
The main goal here, please don't drop out.
Coming up.
I don't understand the work, really. It's hard. Just still don't get it.
We'll meet a ninth grader who is struggling to find her place at Cody, and she's hoping Coach Knight will show her the way. You're listening to Mr. Knight's Neighborhood, a State of Opportunity special on Michigan Radio. You're listening to a State of Opportunity special. I'm Jennifer Guerra. All this hour, how one person can make a difference to kids on the brink. Chapter 2, 3 A's and a Big Mac. Every year, Jimmy Knight says this is going to be his last year at Cody's Medicine and Community Health Academy in Detroit. But then he meets that one girl who keeps skipping class, or that one boy who keeps blowing up at his teachers. And he wants to help.
Come here. No. Tarif. Come here. Come on. Walk with me.
The kid you hear, the one that Knight is trying to calm down, that's Therese. He's in 11th grade now, but he started working with Knight when he first got to Cody 3 years ago.
I don't think I would be here if it wasn't for Coach Knight.
Where would you be?
I would be kicked out of this school somewhere.
Do you think you'd still be in school?
Yes.
Just not here.
Yeah, just not here.
Therese is one of the students on Coach Knight's official caseload. It's Knight's job to track Therese's progress, grades, write-ups, attendance, through all 4 years of high school. And Therese is the first one to tell you. He had a long way to go when he first came to Cody.
It was just like a train off the tracks. Like, I was really just a hothead. I used to jump every time somebody would look at me wrong. But working with Coach Knight, like, I got a hold of my attitude more. Because he used to tell me, like, it's not even worth it. You can just sit back, count to 10. Like, just do anger exercises.
He gave you actual exercises to kind of keep you calm.
Yes, he did.
So counting to 10, anything else?
Like stress balls and having conversations, talk about the problems that I got on my chest. And when we talk about them, it's more relief because you want just have it building up in you.
His cousin Dante, who's also in the 11th grade, agrees.
Well, I'm going to say, without Coach Knight, I probably wouldn't even be in school, period. I'd probably be somewhere in the streets.
Really?
Yeah. Like when I first got here, like, I thought, like, the street life was where I supposed to be. Instead of, like, focusing on school, I was focusing more on the streets. And when I got with Coach Knight, like, he changed all that around. He told me that school was where I needed to be. And
how did he do that?
Like, he had talks with me. Like, he showed me, like, all the positive stuff I can do in my life. I, like, just instantly, like, I got to get it.
Dante and Therese are neighborhood kids who got into neighborhood trouble. It's not unique what they've experienced. I met a number of kids at Cody who would tell me, yeah, I ran with a gang. Yeah, I've been in fights. I'm not saying that's everybody who walks through the front doors at Cody, not at all, but it's enough that you notice.
Man, you just getting to class, dude. This late, you miss the first hour again, so now the money is slipping away.
This is another one of Knight's crew, as he likes to call them. Travion is his name, but everybody calls him Twerk.
Where you stay at?
On the east side. Like, Davis and McKay. It took him like 2 hours to get there.
We got to find some way to try to help you out on that, man. You catch the Chicago Davidson?
Yeah.
And you might have to catch an earlier bus or something. For real. Because if you keep missing first hour, it's going to hurt us on what we're trying to accomplish. So try to get here. If you got to call me, I'm going to give you my number. You call me, and then I'll leave out early and meet you somewhere and pick you up.
I'm going to pause here for a minute. Did you hear Knight ask Twerk which bus he takes to school? He's talking about a city bus, not a school bus. The district only provides buses for special education students. Everybody else is on their own. The principal at Cody gives out bus cards to about half of the students in the school. Each pass costs around $200, so students who live farthest away get priority. And Detroit city buses are notoriously late. So missing first hour? Yeah, not that uncommon. Okay, so back to Twerk. He's not doing so hot in school right now, and if he doesn't get his grades up, he could fail out. Knight does not want to see that happen, so he made a little bet with Twerk.
If I was to get all C's on my report card, me and my boys was going to get some money if I pulled off all C's.
And are you one of the ones that's helping?
Yes, of course, of course. I'm basically me and the other people we hang around. We helping to make sure he's on the right track. And if we do that, we'll be able to, you know, give him money, basically.
That's right. Coach Knight made a bet with Twerk and his friends. If they can help him get a 2.0 or better, he's going to give them $100. Unorthodox? Yes. Effective? Maybe.
So, I mean, every day you see them grabbing them by the hair. They getting his book bags out the locker. They making sure he's walking into class. You know, Coach, well, we got study time, so they helping him study. They at home doing it. So, your friend's going to get the money you want. That's how I kind of put it to him. But, of course, I'm going to divide it up between all of them. Actually, it's just enough for them to go out and get lunch. You know, go get y'all something to eat. It's on me.
Coach Knight made the bet in February. 1 month later, this happened.
How's it going in terms of your classes?
Yeah, I'm about to move.
You're going to move?
Yeah, I'm moving to Oklahoma with my daddy.
Oh, wow. When are you moving?
Saturday.
So you're going to leave Cody?
Yeah. I'm going to miss it, though.
What are you going to miss?
The vibe of it. You feel me? Everything about it. The hallway time, classes, all that.
What about that bet with Coach Knight?
I mean, I sent him my report card and and he can send the money. So when I send my report card.
Having students like Twerk up and leave in the middle of the semester is pretty common for high-poverty schools like Cody. Generally speaking, the poorer the school district, the higher the transiency rate. At Cody, of the roughly 100 seniors who started at Cody freshman year, about 70 are still at the school. As one staff member told me, we have as many students coming in as going out. You're listening to Mr. Knight's Neighborhood, a State of Opportunity special about a high school on Detroit's west side. I'm Jennifer Guerra. Chapter 3, Welcome to the Dream Team. I first met 15-year-old Kaylin during her freshman English class.
All right,
and I'll be honest with you, she did not make a great first impression.
All right. So, redemptive suffering and...
I'll perish.
Hey, let's turn off our music. Let's pause.
Here she is in English class, and she straight up has her headphones on while the teacher's talking. You can hear the music from across the room.
Redemptive suffering has always been the part of... It's okay, hey.
After her teacher asks her to take off her headphones, he wraps up the lesson and gives the students their assignment. They have to answer 5 questions based on the reading they just did. Most of the students get to work right away, but not Kaylin. So her teacher, Josh Andrew, tries to motivate her.
This is your opportunity. This is where you're making your choice, right? I can't pick up your pen and write for you. Only you can do that. And I'm giving you the chance, right?
You have to give it to Josh Andrew. He really is trying to help her. And Kaylin does pick up her pencil, but doesn't actually write anything down. So I ask her what's up.
I don't understand the work, really. It's hard.
Do you feel like you can get help?
Yeah, a little bit, but I'm not sure. Like, I ask for help sometimes, but I just still don't get it.
Well, Mr. Andrews seemed pretty open to helping. Do you feel that or no?
Yeah, a little bit.
I noticed you had your headphones on a lot in class.
Yeah, just to get my mind off of stuff, to listen to music. But I do try to do my work. It's just never got it, really. Just still don't get it.
Kaylin is by no means the only one in her class who doesn't get the work. 67 freshmen, including Kaylin, failed at least one class this year. That's nearly half the freshmen at the school. They're all in what's called credit recovery. They stay after school for a couple hours a day, 4 days a week, and basically redo the class to try and pass. If they fail that, they get one more chance in summer school. It's one of the mechanisms the school has in place to try to keep kids on track to graduate. The next time I see Kaylin, she's in the cafeteria, standing in line to get a sub sandwich. Coach Knight is always on lunchroom duty. He calls it
the most important hour of the day.
If you have a great lunch period, the rest of the day is easy. Crazy lunch period, all bets are off. Today seems pretty mellow. No drama, no fights. And Kaylin, who I haven't seen in about a week, seems way more up with everything. She even started a student group, which she can't wait to tell me about. She calls it the Dream Team.
Basically, we're going to talk about a lot of stuff in the group. We're going to talk about anger, your sexuality. We're going to talk about a lot of stuff. Stuff that people want to get off their chest, stuff that they think. It's basically a group for you to come and you talk.
But it's like free therapy.
Yeah, basically like free therapy. And we're also going to be doing fun activities. When it gets warmer, we're going to go out and pick up trash. We're going to get T-shirts made. So
I know when I saw you the first time when I met you, we were in English class, and you were not into it. You were not into it.
I'm trying to do better. I'm trying to do better because I had to think, like, you know, I had to think about, you know, I really look up to Mr. Knight. I really look up to him, and he told me, like, you know, life is short. So, you know, you want to try to do something. And I look at my mom, I look at, you know, everybody in my family, and I'm like, I cannot just sit here every day and try not to do something.
Did you catch that? The difference between last week and this week is something Coach Knight said. Kaylin is not one of the students on Knight's caseload, but they have been talking on and off since Kaylin transferred to Cody in October. When he first met Kaylin,
Knight says she was hardly ever in class. She was always skipping. She has gotten better since they started talking. Not perfect, but better. She roams the halls less. She isn't always tardy for class. He's also been helping her with her anger issues. Like when she was about to get into a fight with a boy in her class, the teacher called Knight and asked for Knight to come over and talk to Kalen and the boy.
Let me see. Here I am, going around, saying how great you are, and it's just a whole game. That what you're trying to tell me?
No, it's not no game.
So why you and him can't seem to get along? This been going on for weeks now, and I know it.
Right, but he's saying something to me. That's
this is a big part of Knight's job, getting students to calm down, to try to stop them from fighting. He deals with all kinds of these conflicts, sometimes just between two guys, sometimes it's a whole group of girlfriends who are on the outs and ready to fight. I've seen him handle a bunch of these, and I have to say, he's good. You can boil down his technique into 5 steps. He starts with listening. He lets each student tell his or her side of the story one at a time. Step 2, he throws in something personal about himself, you know, to try and lighten the mood.
Your pants? Come on, dude. There ain't nothing for you to fight about. Come on now. You know how many times they done talked about my pants in here? I know, I'm just telling you. And haircuts. Look at mine right now.
3, time for compliments. He points out something positive that's going on with each student at the table. Maybe their grades are improving, or they haven't gotten in trouble in a while. Step 4, he tells them how much he loves them.
Both of y'all are 2 of my favorites, right? We admit to that, right? Can we admit to that?
And then he brings it all home with step 5 and these 3 words.
All right, I'm good. So don't disappoint me.
Jimmy Knight did go through some conflict resolution training as part of his job at communities and schools, so that's where he probably learned some of his techniques. The rest? That's just Knight doing Knight. He doesn't have a degree in counseling or social work or psychology.
No, what I have is a degree in familyism, I call it, because, not to toot my parents' horn or anything, but they gave me the tools. I got the tools that I used in this school from my parents. That's why I told you when you first came, I'm not no special person here. I just do what's in my heart, what I think is right with the kids, by the kids. That's it. Go for Mr. Knight.
Coming up, we'll meet a high school junior who's ready for a life beyond Cody.
My thing is, if you can get up out of here, you better go, no matter what.
He's hoping college is his way out, but he's got 1 year left of high school and a baby on the way. You're listening to Mr. Knight's Neighborhood, a State of Opportunity special on Michigan Radio. Stay with us. I'm Jennifer Guerra. Before the break, we met Kaylin, a 15-year-old freshman at Cody. When you see her walking down the halls, she looks like this tough kid with her punk hairstyle that sticks straight up. But get closer, and she's got this baby face. She's just a kid who's trying to make it day by day at Cody. She says things have gotten a little bit better since she started her dream team club and since she found a friend in Coach Knight.
That is my hero. I'm telling you. He really means what he say. And I just see him and how he talked to me. And, you know, he talked to me in a good, respectful way that'll make you understand. He talked to me to where, like, you don't want to get mad at him. You don't want to go off on him. Sometimes he get on my head, like, I do this. But I really understand where he's coming from because I really look up to him.
When I first met Kaylin, it was during English class. And she wasn't paying attention. The teacher was talking. She had her headphones on and was totally not listening. This time around, her attitude is way better. Her teacher, Josh Andrew, has figured out a way to reach Kaylin during class. After he gives everybody an assignment, he walks directly over to Kaylin and asks her if she understands it.
So if I were to come to you, Kaylin, and say, who are you? Are you a villain who walks the streets of Detroit and makes people's lives miserable? How would you feel?
I wouldn't feel right. Because, like, you came to me like, you know, like you don't trust me or something. Like,
Kaylin's good
like,
friend, Star, is an A student, so he has the 2 of them work together. Today, they're working on The Odyssey. If you don't remember the story, here is the teacher, Josh Andrew, with a quick refresher.
The story of The Odyssey is about Odysseus' journey home. you know, it follows his experience in the Trojan War, and it's asking this question of what does it take to come home?
It's hard to ignore the parallels between Odysseus and the kids at Cody. Here's Odysseus, our hero, trying to get somewhere. But there are so many things vying for his attention, so many obstacles that stand in his way. And he's human. He gets excited. He gets distracted, just like Kaylin and her classmates.
There's so much potential when they wake up every morning and they make that decision, do I want to go to school? Am I going to go to school today? And there are so many opportunities to not, whether that's, you know, making a life on the street or you know, just kind of going off track. There are all these opportunities to be distracted.
In the month and a half that I was at Cody, these are just some of the obstacles I observed. One student had no heat in the house. Another got jumped on the way home from school, had to go to the hospital. One student's dad just got out of prison and keeps texting, asking the student for another chance. Three students lost family members. And then there are the everyday teen distractions, cell phones, music, who said what on social media. And if you're falling behind in all of your classes and you can't get the help you need to stay on track, all those distractions start to look shinier and shinier.
When I get stuck, I get mad. I just want to give up. I sometimes want to walk out. I sometimes want to cry. And then sometimes you'll be afraid to ask for help because you don't want other people looking at you like, oh, she needs help, she's slow, she's this, he's that. You don't want that.
So you do what Kaylin so often does.
Oh, I got a phone call. I've already given out three or four now to people who have brought the same number.
Hello. You answer your phone during biomedicine class instead of working on an assignment, or you play Sims on your tablet when you should be filling out a worksheet. And nobody, save for Josh Andrews and a couple others, seems to notice. 10 days later, Kaylin gets suspended. This isn't her first suspension. This time, she and a friend were talking during math class, so her teacher put them out, more to scare them than anything. Coach Knight wasn't around to handle the situation, so the dean of culture, the enforcer, he gives Kaylin and the other student each a 2-day suspension. Kaylin gets her progress report before she goes home. No big surprise here. She is struggling in every core class. It's hard to imagine how a 2-day suspension will help with that.
Get out the hall, man.
Okay, so Kaylin is suspended today. So I'm going to call her and I guess see how she's spending her morning. Okay. Hey, is this Kaylin?
Yes.
Hey, Kaylin, it's Jennifer Guerra. So it looks like the suspension went through.
Yeah.
Yeah, so what are you doing at home? What'd you say?
Watching TV.
Watching TV? What's on? Anything good?
SpongeBob.
SpongeBob? Nice.
Yeah.
She says she's at home watching SpongeBob SquarePants, and she'll probably just sit on the couch and watch TV the rest of the day.
Yeah, that's it.
Okay.
Okay.
Okay, take care, Kaylin.
You too.
While Kaylin is home watching SpongeBob, I have a sit-down with the school's principal, Michelle Parker, a spitfire of a woman who takes no BS. She took over this school 5 years ago and is a firm believer in this small school model. She has 412 students. That's pretty small for a Detroit high school. So theoretically, it's easier for staff to monitor the students and make sure they're doing what they're supposed to be doing. The small school model is supposed to make it harder for students to fall through the cracks. But, as you're about to hear, sometimes that happens anyway. Principal Parker was out on maternity leave for most of the first semester, so she's still trying to learn all the freshmen.
You don't know.
So I tell her about Kaylin.
So she's a freshman, and she is not doing well in her classes. And she's been working with Knight, you know, on anger issues. You know, she...
Here are the bullet points. Kaylin is struggling in all of her classes. She's been suspended multiple times and was just suspended again. She has an IEP. Some kids who qualify for special education get IEPs. They're basically individual education plans that describe the student's disability and let teachers know what they have to do to help a student be successful in school. Every teacher is supposed to know which students have IEPs. But that did not happen here. Some teachers knew, but many didn't.
Like I told you, come back from maternity leave, I'm getting back in the gist and pushing people, get back on their P's and Q's. So we don't have students fall through the cracks. And Kaylin is not one that I want. And actually, I want to pull her report because I want to just see it. Ms. Vasilia?
I need another favor. I know you're busy, but I need for you, can you pull me Kaylin's progress report?
After I told her who Kaylin was and what was happening with her, Parker jumped into action. She starts calling Kaylin's teachers to see what they have to say. Teachers have grade-level meetings every Monday, specifically to talk about students like Kaylin who are at risk of failing. So Parker calls up one of the ninth grade teachers.
Could you ask a question? Have you all met with Kaylin yet?
No.
No? Is she anywhere on your list of a targeted student? I can't hear you.
Yes, she is.
Okay. Do you know when you all have a scheduled case conference maybe for her?
No, I don't.
Okay. All right. Do you all have a you all don't have anything coming back that Monday we come back from break yet, do you?
No. Mm-mm.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
Okay.
All right. So she said...
This is what it sounds like to fall through the cracks. No grade level meeting to talk about Kaylin's progress. The school says suspension is a last resort, but Kaylin has been suspended multiple times. And she has an IEP, which is supposed to help students like her avoid being suspended. And some teachers didn't even know she had an IEP. The school counselor didn't know. Coach Knight didn't know.
I'm shocked that some of them didn't know.
This is Kaylin's mom, Kimberly. I called her up to get her take on the whole thing.
You know what? It was upsetting. Mm-hmm.
Do you think things are going to change or get better? What do you think she needs in a school?
Smaller classroom. Mm. She needs more like one-on-one. You know, when she needs help, she needs to be in a setting where she's comfortable, for one, to ask for help. And when she asks for the help, she should get it, you know?
Mm-hmm. So that puts some of the responsibility on Kaylin, though, to ask for the help, right? Mm-hmm. Do you think she's comfortable doing that?
No.
30% of the students at Cody have a disability, nearly one out of every three students. Those students require lots of resources, and resources require more money and more staff, two things Cody and other high-poverty schools just can't afford. Kaylin at least has Coach Knight in her corner, somebody she trusts. But right now, all Knight can really do is talk to her. He works for communities and schools, not the school district, so he has to put her on his official caseload before he can give her more substantial help. So that's his plan. Once she's back from suspension, after spring break, he plans to fill out the paperwork and get her mom to sign a permission slip so he can work more closely with her.
Because I think Kaylin needs a little more help than we actually given her. And by her being on my caseload, I can document to see where the change is starting and then documenting and keep up with where the change is going, so either up or down.
But he never gets a chance to add her to his list. 3 days back from spring break, Kaylin gets in a fist fight with another girl. They each get 5 days suspension. I happened to be on the phone with Kaylin's mom when she got the call from the school.
I'm so upset. I'm stumbling over my words.
When are you going to decide if you put her back in the school or not?
I'm not going to put her back. I'm not putting her back in Cody.
Oh, that is final.
That's final.
It's not the first student Knight has lost, and he knows it probably won't be his last.
Now, you cannot reach every kid. I do understand that, but that don't mean I can't try, okay? That don't mean I can't try. I can try, and I don't take... If I don't make that kid the super kid, they call it, I don't take that and say, oh, I failed. I do know reality that I'm not going to be able to save every kid, okay? But I can, when that kid leave me, he's going to say that somebody cares. Hey, Jacket. He's going to say somebody cares. That's all that matters. That's all that matters. Thank you.
You're listening to Mr. Knight's Neighborhood, a State of Opportunity special on Michigan Radio. I'm Jennifer Guerra. Chapter 4, A Mama's Boy and a Father. Kevin is a junior at Cody. He wasn't going away for spring break, so he invited me over to his house to hang out. Somebody kicked in the front door, so Kevin had to board it up from the inside. He shouts through the window and tells me to go around back. I slide open the glass door, step into the kitchen, and the first thing I notice isn't anything I can see. It's a smell. It smells like gas. Kevin says the heat isn't working in the house anymore, so to stay warm, they turn on the stove. All four burners.
We're poor now, but we wasn't poor once. Like, everybody had that stage where you just fall off.
There's no table in the house to do homework on. The ceilings are literally falling down in places. A 15-year-old was shot and killed a few months ago at a bus stop a mile away. As Kevin told me in school one day, it's just not a safe place to grow up.
My thing is, if you can get up out of here, you better go, no matter what.
For the amount of stuff Kevin has gone through, he is remarkably resilient. His dad has been in prison pretty much all of Kevin's life, so he was raised by his mom. He even has a tattoo on his arm that says, Mama's Boy. The house he used to live in caught fire and burned down. One of his brothers died of SIDS. To look at Kevin, you wouldn't know any of that happened. He's always smiling. He has this very chill attitude. He's a flirt. I met him after football season ended, so I didn't get to see him in action, but apparently he is great. He plays running back, and everybody at the school talks about how good Kevin is, how he might go pro one day. But he tells me, playing professional football, that's not his main goal in life.
Look, matter of fact, I'm going to show you my goals. I'll show you my thing.
You want to show me your goals?
Yeah. Where is that?
Well, read me the whole thing. So, okay, the title says Kev Goals No Matter What.
No matter what. Then it say number one. Make it out the hood. Then I got the exclamation mark with the mad face. Number two, no matter what, do 4 to 8 years of college. And then number three,
become a doctor or a lawyer. Four, football is a backup plan. Five, move the family somewhere more safe.
Number six, never let someone tell you different. Seven, never give up. And then eight, I got it in capital letters. If you fall, get up and try it again.
Kevin has fallen a bunch of times. And one of the people who's been there to help pick him back up, Coach Knight. Knight has known Kevin since Kevin was seven. He used to play on a peewee league that Knight started up for kids in the neighborhood. At first, Kevin's mom did not want him to go to Cody. Yeah, it was their neighborhood high school, but it had a bad rap. So she sent him to one of the more elite schools in the district. But he started hanging with the wrong crowd, got arrested, spent a few weeks in juvie, and basically failed ninth grade. When it seemed like no school would take Kevin, Coach Knight and another football coach, Coach Norman, stepped in and talked to Principal Parker at Cody.
So I just said, Ms. Parker, this is a great kid. He's been led astray a little bit. He needs me and Coach Norman. This is a kid, we're going to save his life. Because I thought it was a life-saving thing. Because he was really going the wrong way. Now, Kevin was a brilliant kid, and we knew this all the way through because he loved math. You don't see too many kids that just love to do math. You know, we out there doing plays, and he's saying, the quarterback will say 6, 18, 22. He'll add all those numbers up right then and say, oh, that equals this. You know, he was a little kid. So I told her all those things, and me and Coach Norman took her in the office, and we stayed in the office for 2 hours. And talked to her till she said, okay, y'all, I'll let him in.
I just love Coach Knight.
This is Kevin's mom, LaCletia. She tears up whenever she thinks about how Coach Knight went to bat for her son and got him into Cody. She often daydreams about what it will be like when Kevin graduates from there.
Yeah, he dedicated this song to me. Who sing that? I'ma hold you down. I love that song. And when he graduate from high school, I know they probably tell me to get out. But I'm going to have that speaker. And I'm going to play that song when my son walks across that stage. Because these young kids is not making it nowadays. Like, I just want him to make it.
For a while, things seemed good. Kevin went to class, got decent grades, played football. He was doing what he needed to do to graduate and get out of the neighborhood for good. And then he got his girlfriend pregnant. 16-year-old Kevin is going to be a dad. He plans to call his son Kevin Jr. I ask him what his hopes are for his little boy.
I ain't gonna say don't go down the road I went down, because I ain't have everybody go through stuff. But, you know, graduate, make it, go to college like me, because I'm gonna be the first to go to college off my mom's side. Sorry. Chill on the women. Use protection.
When Kevin told Coach Knight about the pregnancy, Knight did not take the news very well.
So I was more pissed off than anything, because I didn't think he was ready. I didn't expect that kind of mistake.
But he's not giving up on Kevin. Nobody at Cody is. Where Cody sort of dropped the ball in terms of catching Kaylin from falling through the cracks, everybody seems to have Kevin's back. Teachers give him makeup work so he can catch up on all the days he's missed. His coaches are on him about his grades. The principal personally makes sure Kevin writes an essay for his summer job application. They all want him to succeed, especially Coach Knight.
My hopes is for him to graduate high school right now and get a job, because he's got to have family to take care of. But that's the realistic thinking. If I got to say what I wish for Kevin, I wish Kevin can get his grades right here. I wish Kevin can go to college and play football. I wish Kevin can get a degree out of college in medicine where he can be the doctor he want to be. That's my wishes for Kevin. Wishes don't always come true.
There are so many Kevins out there, not just at Cody, but across Detroit and in other high-poverty cities. The circumstances vary, but what is at stake is the same. These are kids who are on the brink of either being swallowed back into their neighborhood or graduating and getting out. For kids on the edge, having somebody like Coach Knight to talk to give you anger exercises, to show empathy, that can make all the difference. Knight knows he gets taken advantage of now and then. Even his own wife, Jennifer, calls him a pushover. She thinks he lets students get away with way too much.
I could send little Johnny to school because Mr. Knight going to give him a shirt. I could send little Johnny to school. He hungry. Mr. Knight will give him $2 to get something to eat. Some kids, true enough, need the help. Some kids don't have anybody, so they need some kind of guidance. But he give them too many chances. He basically a pushover, you know. He give you too many chances.
Coach Knight is the king of second chances. He gave his old neighborhood a second chance when he moved from the suburbs back to Detroit. He gave his old high school a second chance when he sent his daughters to Cody. It's what he does. And now he gets paid to do it.
Here are the things that students have said about you. Oh, he's a superhero. He's my second dad. He's the best, you know. I mean, how does that make you feel when you hear those comments?
I'm not here for to be praised. That's not why I'm here. So when we first started off, I kept telling you I'm not no special person. I don't think I'm no special person. I'm just here for them. As what they say about me, I'm thankful for it. But I don't want my legacy to be that I was here for to make the kids think about me. It was all about them, you know. I just want, if they can say anything, I want them to say Coach Knight helped me out over my lifetime, you know. He helped me get through this thing called high school.
You've been listening to Mr. Knight's Neighborhood, a State of Opportunity documentary on Michigan Radio. Today's show was written and produced by me. Special thanks to Andrea Claire Mayo. She produced videos of Coach Knight, Kevin, and Kaylin. You can check them out on our website. Thanks also to Sarah Alvarez, Annie Norris, and Kimberly Springer. Sarah Hewlett edited today's show. Tamar Charney is the executive producer of State of Opportunity. This program is a production of Michigan Radio, a broadcasting service of the University of Michigan. I'm Jennifer Guerra.
Support for this program was provided by the Equity Reporting Project.
Restoring the Promise of Education, which was developed by Renaissance Journalism with funding from the Ford Foundation. And support for State of Opportunity comes from the W.K. Kellogg Foundation, a partner with communities where children come first.